Yesterday we began to talk about the issue that the Avodrama and the Minchas Chinuch raise, and that is the story about why do we not have the Halach of Sveika Diyoma by Hanukkah. Everybody's wondering why we have 8 days of Hanukkah instead of seven, but we asked yesterday why do we not have 9 days of Hanukkah instead of eight. The same way we observe 9 days of Sukkot, 9 days of Pesach, why do we not have Sveika Diyoma and observe 9 days of Hanukkah? And every night of Hanukkah we should be lighting one for tonight, one for tomorrow. Maybe it's the second night, maybe it's the third night, maybe it's the third night, maybe it's the fourth. So we discussed that yesterday, and we said that the Avodrama and the Minchas Chinuch both suggest that when it comes to a Din D'Rabbanan, like Hanukkah, we don't have to go so far and assume that Sveika D'Yoma is going to be operative. We don't assume that Sveika D'Yoma is going to be applicable. And therefore, we leave it only at 8 days. We don't observe 9 days of Hanukkah. However, the Minchas Chinuch says in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when they had the Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi HaRe'iyah, when everything was set up based on the Edim, the witnesses coming in and informing us that it is Rosh Chodesh, the Minchas Chinuch is of the opinion that we are going to once again have that system set up when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, and we're going to then observe 9 days of Hanukkah. A fascinating opinion of the Minchas Chinuch, but that's what he suggests, because we're going to once again go by that system. There are going to be some communities that are not going to know exactly when it is, and therefore the Minchas Chinuch argues that we're going to have actually 9 days of Hanukkah if you're living in a community that is far away from Yerushalayim. So other Achronim asked on the Minchas Chinuch, as we mentioned yesterday, Rabbi Reuven Margolia said, how can that be? Nowadays we have telegrams, he said. Nowadays we have the radio. Nowadays we have the internet. Nowadays we have cell phones. We have Twitter. We have everything. Nobody will wait 25 days. There's not a place in the world that in 25 days wouldn't find out yet what day is the proper day for Rosh Chodesh. So this was the question, and that opened up a whole Pandora's box as to whether or not all the halachas are going to change in the times of Bias HaMashiach, when now that we have technology, a lot of things might be different. But let's pick up on one issue that we spoke about yesterday, and that was the question that Mr. Kiffel asked. He was here yesterday, but he asked a very good question. If the Minchas Chinuch argues that when it comes to Hanukkah, really we should say that Sveika D'Yoma should apply, just since it's only D'Rabbanan, we don't apply it. And therefore, by Sukkot we do, and by Pesach we do, by Shavuos we do, but not by Hanukkah. So Mr. Kiffel asked yesterday, what about Purim? Would the Minchas Chinuch argue that there would be 2 days of Purim, and depending on where you lived, you would figure out if I'm in Shushan, in a walled city, or if I'm in Yerushalayim, if I'm somewhere, it will make Purim really confusing. What would the Minchas Chinuch say when it comes to Purim? Would we also have Sveika D'Yoma by Purim the same way that we should have set it by Hanukkah, if not for the fact that Hanukkah was D'Rabbanan? So the truth is, Purim is not clear. Purim is not clear because, is Purim really on the same rabbinic level as Hanukkah? Do you say that the two rabbinic holidays are Hanukkah and Purim, and everything else is biblical? Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, those are biblical. But all the rest, Purim and Hanukkah, we consider to be rabbinic. Or maybe we should say, Purim is perhaps on a higher level than Hanukkah is. Why would we assume such a thing? Well, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Ilchas Purim, Siman Tav Reish Tzadi Vav, as follows, that if you have an Onen who loses a relative who's waiting for the Kvura, who's waiting for the Levaya, and that Onen happens to have the experience of Purim in the time of their Aninus, says the Sharach, Mutter Bebasar V'yayin, even though an Onen in that period of time is generally not allowed to eat meat and not allowed to drink wine. However, the Shulchan Aruch says that when it comes to Purim, if the Onen has that unfortunate circumstance on Purim, they are supposed to go ahead and drink wine and eat meat, even though they're in the time of Aninus. Why is that? Says the Shulchan Aruch, because Purim is an essay de rabim de araisa, because Purim is something that we all have an obligation to celebrate together by eating meat, by drinking wine, by being happy, by having exciting things going on in our homes. Velo asi avelis diacha, just because you have a private issue, somebody in your family passed away, doesn't mean that you should not be participating in the mitzvah de araisa of celebrating on Purim. Mitzvah de araisa, what do you mean? There's no pasuk in Chumash that tells me that. So what exactly does he mean? And it's this mechaber is based on what a lot of Rishonim suggest, and that is that since Purim is something what we call in the category of Divrei Kabbalah, it's not just a regular rabbinic decree, it's not just a Din D'Rabbanan like we have other Dinim D'Rabbanan like Netilas Yadayim or other things. Here, Purim is something that is mentioned in Ksuvim. It's something that we have. Megillas Esther talks about Purim, and therefore it's considered to be on a higher status. It's considered to be like Divrei Kabbalah, and many Rishonim assume that Divrei Kabbalah is Kedivrei Torah Damyam. When you have something that is on the status, on the level of Divrei Kabbalah, that is not considered like a Din D'Rabbanan. That is considered like the status of a Din D'Araisa on many, many levels. So just to give a few examples of how that plays out. Number one, we have the Shulchan Aruch here. Shulchan Aruch tells us that an Onen would go ahead and eat meat and drink wine even though he's in the state of Aninus, even though he really shouldn't be doing so. But since Purim is considered to be not just a Din D'Rabbanan, but really a quasi din d'araisa because it's considered mitivrei kabbalah. Therefore, we would assume that he would violate his regular status of aninus, and he would go ahead and participate in the sudas purim like everybody else. There's another very fascinating place where this plays out, and that is the following. We have a Gemara in Erevin where the Gemara has a concept of chazaka shliach osa shlichuso. If I send somebody to do something on my behalf, I can assume that they probably went ahead and did what they had to do. If I hired a worker to do something for me, I can assume that the worker probably did it unless I hear otherwise. So the Gemara says, although that's the general assumption, that shliach osa shlichuso, when you ask somebody to do something for you, he probably is going to do it. However, the Gemara says you cannot rely on that when it comes to fulfilling a din d'araisa. You can only rely on that by a din d'rabbanan. So for example, if you need someone, the Gemara in Erevin is talking about putting out an Erev, which is only d'rabbanan. Can I assume if I send somebody to go do the Erev for me, an Erev tafshilin is only d'rabbanan, should I assume that they took care of it? Or do you say, no, you better go check up afterward and make sure that it was taken care of? So the Gemara says, well, since Erev is only mid-rabbanan, therefore you can assume once you sent the person out, you can assume they probably followed through and did what they were supposed to do. But when it comes to a din d'araisa that you have to fulfill, the Gemara says you don't have the right to assume that the shliach did what he had to do. You have to follow up and make sure that everything was done the way it was supposed to be done. This is a major discussion in the Gemara there. It's a big issue that the Gemara has back and forth about what are the parameters, where we should assume that a shliach does what he's supposed to do, where not. There's actually an interesting tshuva in the Divrei Chaim, the first sons of Rav. So the Divrei Chaim had a very fascinating story that came his way. There was somebody who was living in Europe, I guess somewhere near Sanz. They sent a letter to the Sanz Rebbe, to the Divrei Chaim. So there was somebody who was chayiv misa by the Malchus. For whatever reason, they indicted him. They felt that he was deserving of death, and somehow he ran away. So he ran away, and he escaped the death penalty, and now he obviously was living in an undisclosed location. He was afraid for his life. And the problem was that now that he ran away, his wife was an aguna. Had they all seen that he was killed by the government, his wife, unfortunately, would have been an almana, but at least she would have been able to get remarried after she got over the loss. But now that he ran away and nobody knew where he was and he wasn't able to disclose his location, so now she was left in aguna and she didn't know what to do. She was a young woman, they didn't have children, and she was very upset that she wasn't going to be able to get remarried to somebody else. So she hired someone to go and find her husband for a very exorbitant amount of money, and she asked that when you find the husband, please ask him to be kind to me, to write me a get, even though I understand he can't come back to live with me and I can't live with him, someone's going to uncover this. He wants to live by himself, I get it, but I don't want to be left in aguna my whole life. She sends this detective after this husband who ran away, and he finds him. And he finds the husband, and he convinces the husband to write a get. The husband says, absolutely, I love my wife, I don't want her to be stuck, I want to write her a get. The husband says to himself, now I'm living in an undisclosed location, I also want to get remarried, I'm going to have a new name, I'm going to go under a new alias, I don't want to have ties to my wife either anymore, I want to get ahead and go get remarried for myself, so to write a get would be beneficial for me as well. So he writes the get and he gives it to the shaliach. A year and a half goes by and the man says to himself, I'm only allowed to get remarried if I give a get. We all know there's a cheirim derabbeinu gershom. A man is not allowed to marry two women, he only is allowed to be married to one. So he says, how am I allowed to go ahead and get remarried on the assumption that the person I gave the get to actually gave it to my wife? The Gemara has the whole sugi about shliach osa shlichuso. Should I really assume that the get made it to my wife? I have no way of finding out. I can't go check up in that city and I can't send a letter with anybody because then they're going to find out where I am. So he was very concerned. He sent the shaliach to the Divrei Chaim to have a right to assume. There was a Yari Shamayim who came here. I gave him the get to give to my wife. Should I assume that now I'm allowed to go ahead and get remarried as well because he probably did what he was supposed to do? Said the Divrei Chaim, yes. Because since the Cheirim D'Rabbeinu Gershom is only a Din D'Rabbanan, that's not a Din D'Araisa. Al Pi Din Torah, based on the strict letter of the law, a man is allowed to marry two women. There's a rabbinic problem in the way. Oh, whenever you have a rabbinic issue, whenever you have a Din D'Rabbanan, we can assume you can rely on Shliach Osa Shlichuso, that a person does what they're supposed to. So anyway, the Achronim discuss what would the case be when it comes to Mishloach Manos. So you send somebody who's going to another town, you ask them to please deliver the Shloach Manos for you. I don't have time on Purim to go to this other community, but I want you to fulfill my mitzvah for me. Do I have to call them up later and find out, did you do the mitzvah? Do I have to ask them later on, did you fulfill what I asked you to do? Or do you say, no, generally we assume by Dinam Derabbanan, Chazaka, Shliach Osa Shlichuso, I don't have to check up on them. I can assume that if he was asked to do this job, he probably did. It wasn't so difficult for him. So why should I assume otherwise? So this is a major discussion, that maybe, although it's true that Purim we generally assume to be a Din D'Rabbanan, but Purim might have a higher status. Purim might be a Divrei Kabbalah, which means it's similar to a Divrei Torah, to a Din D'Araisa, and therefore there are some Achronim who argue that maybe when you send the Shalach Manas with somebody else to perform the mitzvah for you, You have to follow up with them and make sure they actually did it, because otherwise it's a din d'oraisa, so to speak, and you don't have a right to rely on chazaka shliachos shlichuso by a din that might be d'oraisa. So that's nafkamina number two that we find about the fact that Purim might have a higher status than other mitzvahs that we do midrabanan throughout the year. The Prima Gadim writes as well, what if a person, generally we assume, safik d'oraisa l'chumra, safik d'rabanan l'kula. Whenever you're in doubt on a mitzvah d'oraisa, you have to go and do it, err on the side of caution. Whenever you have a mitzvah d'rabanan, we assume a safik anyway, you don't have to go and do it again. If you think you did it, but you're not sure, you don't have to do it again. So the Prima Gadim asks, what if a person is not sure whether or not they're in the Megillah on Purim? I was so busy, I went on a Hatzalah call, I'm not sure, did I hear every word of the Megillah, did I not, did I really do what I was supposed to do, I'm not sure, I can't remember anymore what happened. So the Prima Gadim writes, well, by a regular Din d'Rabbanan, we would say, Din d'Rabbanan, Safek d'Rabbanan l'kula. But here the Prima Gadim argues that since Purim, since Mikra Megillah might be something that's on a higher status, Mikra Megillah might be like a Din d'Oraisa, therefore he writes that a person who has a Safek, whether or not they lay in the Megillah, has to go ahead and do it again. And similarly, the Prima in a different place, that we have a discrepancy about mitzvah strichas kavana. Every time I do a mitzvah, do I have to have intent specifically for the mitzvah that I'm doing? Or do we assume that, no, mitzvah saying strichas kavana. It's a discussion in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, discussion in the Rishonim, not clear. But basically the Radvaz comes to the conclusion, and this is what's quoted the Halach in the Mishnah Berurah, that when you perform a mitzvah d'araisa, you have to have specific intent for what it is that you're doing. If you don't have in mind for what you're doing, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. By a mitzvah d'rabbanan, the Mishnah Berurah writes, you don't have to have specific intent. Mitzvah sein tzrichas kavana, says the Prima Gadim, when it comes to Mikra Megillah, does a person have to have in mind what they're doing, or do you say, no, it's a regular din d'rabbanan? Says the Prima Gadim, absolutely you have to have in mind, because divrei kabbalah is kedivrei Torah damyan, and therefore he assumes Purim takes on a higher status. So now, with all of that in mind, if that's correct, so now we get back to our question from yesterday. We mentioned yesterday that the Minchas Chinuch and the Abu Dram and others say, when you have a Yom Tov which is only midrabanan, like Hanukkah, there's no reason to worry about Sveika d'Yom. Why? Because we only worry about that by Sukkot, by Pesach, and by Shavuos. But over here, where we have Hanukkah b'zman hazeh, nowadays that we have a fixed calendar, and it's only midrabanan, so there's no reason to worry about Sveika d'Yom. We only observe 8 days of Hanukkah instead of 9. Well, if you assume that logic is correct, what would be the story with Purim? Would you say that Purim, maybe the same way it has the status of a din d'oraisa with regard to all these other halachos, maybe we should say it has the status with regard to Sveika d'Yoma as well? And in fact, I did see that the Nimukei Aruch Chaim, which is one of the great commentaries on Shulchan Aruch, writes, in the name of the Arizal, that the Arizal said, Reb Chaim Vital said this as well, that on the second day after Purim was over, they would sit down and have Mishloach Manos, they would give Matanos Lavyonim because of Sveika d'Yoma. So that's a fascinating comment. We've never heard of such a thing. So the truth is that the Mordechai, one of the Gdolei HaRishonim, already raises the issue. And the Mordechai writes as follows, Mashalo Nagu Likros HaMegillah Yom Yudalet V'Yom Tazvav Misafek B'Zman Hazeh K'davdina B'Yomtiv. Ask the Mordechai our question. Why don't you have Sveika d'Yoma by Purim the same way you have it by Sukkot and by Pesach and Shavuos? So he answers as follows, Yesh Lomar, Mishum D'Dilma Yudalet Nikva B'Zmano. And the Pasuk says, the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Megillah writes, V'lo Yavar. You don't have a right to lay in the Megillah after the day of Tezvav. The Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Megillah says, you can lay it on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tezvav. V'lo Yavar. You can't lay in past the day of Purim. You're not allowed to lay in the Megillah after that. And therefore, says the Mordechai, that's why we don't observe Sveika d'Yoma when it comes to Purim. Although it would make sense, maybe you have a logical argument, because maybe this is like a din d'oraisa, and maybe it should be like Sukkot, and it should be like Pesach, it should be like Shavuos. However, the Mordechai argues, because we have a specific pasuk that outlines our prohibition to go past the day of Tezvav in Adar, therefore we don't have 2 days of Purim, we don't observe a Sveika d'Yoma. But then the Mordechai says, Utnai lo shayachacha. He says, and don't tell me that you'll lay on both days and you'll say, well, if today happens to be Purim, then I want my laying to be good. And if today happens not to be Purim, then I'm reading the Megillah because I'm interested in learning Megillah Esther. Says the Mordechai, without explaining why, he says you can't apply the principle of a Tanai here. Now that's a very problematic statement. Why shouldn't we be able to make a Tanai? The Shulchan Aruch writes, for example, in Hilchos Sfiras HaOmer, the Shulchan Aruch writes, what if a person is davening at a minyan for plag? Let's say I have a minyan in my office, we daven Mincha Maariv at the plag, and now, I'm afraid, later on I'm going to get home, I'm going to eat dinner, I'm not going to go out for Maariv again, I daven Maariv already, so I'm not going to remember to count Sfira. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, that in Siman Tuf Pei test, that you have a right to count Alatanai. I want to count now at the plug. If it's the right time, if I don't remember later on to count, I want this one to be good. If I remember later on, then this one doesn't count at all, I'm going to count again later. So we do find that the Shulchan Aruch in a number of places talks about having a tanai on a given mitzvah that a person wants to perform, and you can stipulate and say that this is only conditional, this is only on the provision that later on I don't remember to do what I have to do, but if I do remember to do, then I want this to be good for what I'm doing right now. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Why is the Mordechai so convinced that when you have Purim, and you don't want to say that we should go past Hezvav because the Pasuk says V'lo Yavar, why can't I lay in the Megillah on both days and say that it's a Tanai? If today is really the day of Purim, I want it to be good. If today is not the real day of Purim, I'm just reading the Megillah because I'm interested in understanding what the Megillah is. Anyway, this is a fascinating discussion. I thought it was a great question yesterday. Why don't we say Sveika D'Yoma by Purim the same way the Menchas Chinuch argues we should have said it by Chanukah, if not for the fact that Chanukah was a Din D'Rabbanan? Why wouldn't it apply to Purim? And the answer is the Mordechai already asked the question. One of the Rishonim asked the question, and he answers that since by Purim we have a specific pasuk which instructs us not to go past the given date, therefore we say that by Purim, Sveika D'Yoma is not applicable at all. Chananya ben Akasha.